Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ready for a digital dive? You're listening to the GZ Chop Shop podcast, the weekly tech and gaming media podcast that breaks down the latest news, lore, and more. So plug in, because the GZ Chop Shop starts now.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another week of the GZ Chop Shop podcast. I am your host, Project Itachi, joined by my good friend and co-host, War Nurse. And this week, we are going to cover gaming franchises that deserve their time back in the spotlight to get revived, but are constantly getting canned. And it just hurts my soul as a gamer. But before we dive into that, if you guys are joining us on whatever listening platform you're listening to us on, make sure you hit that follow button, turn notifications so you guys know when our podcast goes live, and swing over to our YouTube channel and hit that subscribe and like button. Join us for these adventures so you never miss out. All right, without further ado, one of your favorite developers, and I say so sarcastically, EA has done it again. Do you know what EA has done?
I don't. I have no idea what's going on.
So EA has now officially put...
this time?
They have put Dead Space back on ice in favor of their next Battlefield game. Yes, right after they made that critically acclaimed Dead Space remake, pretty much opening up the universe again after pretty much a decade-long slumber after Dead Space 3, they revived it. T-Motive pretty much gave us a remake. They gave us a phenomenal game. And now, not even 3 years later, they're already saying, hey, we're putting it back on ice. There will not be a Dead Space 2 remake. It's canceled. It's not happening because the sales did not reach what we want. And actually, there's an excerpt right here from thegamer.com. It says, the Dead Space 2 remake is officially not happening, despite the original remake teasing an expanded universe set to be built upon. It seems sales of the reimagining weren't substantial enough to warrant a sequel. It sold millions, 2 million to be exact, but in the landscape of modern gaming, that just doesn't cut the mustard. So, and 2 million is nothing to sneeze at. That's a pretty decent turn for a remake. So what I want to kind of focus on a little bit is, where do you think EA might have gone wrong? If they technically did anything wrong, what could have probably killed the Dead Space franchise? What keeps some of these developers from bringing back fan favorite franchises, despite there being a huge outcry for them to revive certain ones? Final Fantasy Tactics, looking at you. And what could, you know, devs do in the future when they want to revive a series and to keep it revived? Because, you know, like Capcom's been crunching out the Resident Evil remakes and they've been doing phenomenal. And then, you know, Dead Space came out with their remake, and to us, well, at least to me, I thought it did phenomenal, but according to EA, it didn't do well enough. And my first reaction, and don't take this as fact, this is just my opinion initially, was that EA didn't see a way to milk it the way they can their other franchises like Battlefield with season passes, microtransactions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, look at what they did to Battlefront 2. Until the fans pushed back, and now Battlefront 2, at the end of its life cycle, is a phenomenal game. It's the game that should have been what we got at launch, but it took years to get to. But by the time they finished it, it was the end of that game's life cycle, and now that's been canned, and so there's nothing else happening with Battlefront. When if they had done everything they should have done up front. We could have got the Mandalorian in there. We could have got the Bad Batch in there. We could have got an Ando crossover. We could have got so many crossovers with Battlefront if they weren't so money hungry franchise. Now, Dead Space came out. It's a single player game. I was initially thinking maybe it was just because they could think of a way to milk it, because it's not a milkable game. That maybe they were saying, okay, well, if we can't season pass it to death, if we can't microtransaction it to death, no one's going to care about cosmetics in Dead Space, then it has to sell a ridiculous amount. And to be fair, it did underperform as compared to Dead Space 3, that when it launched, it sold 5 million copies as compared to Dead Space Remake selling 2 million. I have other theories that might tie into why a game like, you know, Dead Space underperform. Asking for a $70 price tag for a remake might have been a bit of a stretch, being that it's a game that already existed, and asking for a $70 price tag may have been a bit much. But then again, you have Naughty Dog, who did the exact same thing with The Last of Us Part 1, when they and that game has been remastered. Then they kind of remastered when they could Part 1 and made it available for PS5, and then they had a $70 price tag on it. Because I think it's everything, including the DLC, wrapped in one. So I guess that kind of justified it in their eyes, because if you did the math from when the initial game came out and you bought the DLC, it was going to be around $70 even back then. So asking for a flat $70 right now technically didn't raise the price of the game. They pretty much are just charging you for what you would have paid anyway, or already did pay, if you look back at it. So maybe that's why they were able to get away with it, because there is no DLC for Dead Space. It's not a DLC based game, really. So maybe asking $70 might have killed it as compared to $60. I also want to say, and this is not throwing shade, because I know people will be like, oh my gosh, you're just hating it. I'm like, no, this is not throwing shade, but I think this ties into what we were talking about in our last episode with things like Game Pass that offer games at launch, which is a very decent service to offer, and we've, you know, has been going for years, that if you have Game Pass and those games are offered day one, technically free to you, why would you need to buy a game if, you know, you could get on Game Pass? So maybe it might have hurt on the, you know, on that standpoint, where the, you know, people who are like Game Pass users are like, is it on Game Pass day one? No. Then, you know, I'm going to wait till it's on sale. I'm going to wait until it is on Game Pass. And then they forget about it, because it might have taken, you know, like a year to hit Game Pass. And even on the PlayStation front, we already know PlayStation doesn't follow that model that Game Pass follows. So the PlayStation front, people are like, ooh, $7. Well, I'll wait till it's on a spring sale. And then they forget about it. So only like diehard fans were buying it when it came out at its full retail price. So that may have hurt sales, as this new subscription model from both PlayStation and Xbox may have also hurt them in the long run. That's why I say I don't know if in this case the full blame falls on EA entirely. Not that they're void of fault, but I think this is the one time that it's maybe not their fault. But I don't know. Like, what do you think?
It's starting to feel like, especially studios like EA, are canning games and not giving the community the kind of games that we have been asking for, because they can't milk these games long term. Think of Dino Crisis, for instance. The fan base has been demanding that for over a decade now, wanting a remake. And the Resident Evil games have been so popular and they've sold really well. I think Dino Crisis would sell really well. The demand for it's really high. It's not, several years ago, I would have said Dino Crisis was a niche game, but that was before the outcry and the love of the franchise kind of came to light a little bit more over the past few years with the Resident Evil successes. But just like Resident Evil, I'd say unlike Resident Evil, Resident Evil has a much higher fan base than a game like Dino Crisis, but they're not going to want to spend money on a franchise that they can't milk and that they aren't guaranteed to make the same type of sales. So what I think we're seeing in the gaming industry is a combination of, are there enough fans to make enough money? On top of, can we milk this with skins or DLCs or game passes or battle passes or whatever the case? So it's becoming less about the fans and the community and more about how much money can we milk from people and get from people over time, instead of dropping a game for a single price tag and then that's it. To say a game is a failure because you didn't have DLCs and you didn't have microtransactions and all these things that can gradually be milked over time, that's, to me, that's just proof that that was the goal all along. And going forward in the gaming industry is making as much money as possible from single player games.
Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned that, because in the same vein, I don't know if you heard Ubisoft, another studio that's famous for milking their franchises, is already ticking off the fans with Star Wars Outlaws before it's even launched in August, already saying that it's going to have a season pass day one. It's already going to have, I believe, a $40 season pass. Pretty much to get everything day one, you're going to have to spend about $110 to have access to the Jabba the Hutt missions. They say there's Jabba the Hutt missions in the game, but for these specific missions, they're paywalled by the season pass. And I was afraid of this happening. I said, you know, we got so used to EA having the Star Wars gaming license that we thought any other developer messing with Star Wars would be better than EA. You know, EA, they milked it. And for the most part, I did say years ago in just general conversation, I said, we've forgiven them so much that other big developers, when they get their hands on the franchise, they're going to say, well, EA did it and the fans forgave them, because we did. Yes, we made an outcry. Yes, we made them fix the game. But at the same time, EA got what they wanted first before they fixed it. People cried, but people still spent that money. They spent that money as they cried. So EA was just like, yeah, you're crying, but you're giving us that money. And once we hit a certain threshold and we realize, okay, we can't push it, then we'll fix the game. And that's exactly what happened. And they finally fixed it to the point when they knew, well, we're going to can the game in like 4 years, 5 years anyway. So give them a little bit of what they want, and then we'll just drop the franchise. And then they made their money. They let the license expire. They put it out to other developers. Other developers already scooped it up, Ubisoft being one of the first.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
First, and they're repeating the process. And look at Ubisoft. They're literally going to get away with what EA got away with. Yeah, cool. You're going to get upset, but you're going to pay us as you're upset. And then we're going to nod our heads and we're going to say, we hear you loud and clear. And once we hit a threshold and we realize, okay, we can't push it further, then we're going to fix the game, quote unquote, fix the game, give you what you want at the end of its life when we don't care about it anymore. And we're working on the next project. And that pretty much ties into like what a lot of these AAA studios are starting to lean into. This is what the hole we've dug ourselves in, because for the most part, most of us have just been going, you know, that's what it is. This is the times. We kind of just got to roll with the punches, inflation. The games are actually cheaper this day as compared to other days. And we just take what a certain analyst says here, a certain content creator says there, and we take it as, you know, the spoken word, and we're just like, oh, you know, it is what it is. It's not that big a deal, but it is, because, you know, games are a mainstream media. They outperform sports. They outperform movies in terms of revenue, retention, all of that. So they have an effect on us. You know, I feel like we should be able to determine what we're willing to spend our money on, and what we should be like, no, that's BS. You know, you can't keep milking things like this. Like, you already are planning to milk us, and you're so bold now to say up front, we're going to milk you. Like, that's ballsy. Like, if you already know you're going to charge for this,
like, why can't you just, what we've been saying, and you've said in the last episode, and I think it feels like a lot of the gaming community is starting to agree instead of just nodding their head and accepting it. When you spend $70 on a fucking AAA game, it should be a full game. It should never not be a full game. If you want to do expansions or DLCs, that's fine. But don't put paywalls on games and say, well, if you want X, Y, and Z in the game, or if you want it early, or if you want, you know, stuff that you wouldn't get otherwise that doesn't come with the base game, spend extra money. Call of Duty's the worst about it. They've become the worst about it, because they sell these skins and add-ons for almost the same price, sometimes the same price as the fucking game was to begin with.
Yeah.
And we've allowed this to happen, and all the people that just shook their heads like, it's not a big deal, like, this is going to become not just the norm, but the gold standard in gaming. To not give you a fully released game and to expect you to spend extra money on that same game down the road, more, two or three times more than you even spent on the game alone for add-ons.
Because it all adds up.
I mean, look at Fortnite. What was it? The average Fortnite player spends, it was like $75 or $80. You know, depending on the source,
month, it's like 800
by a little bit, but it's some crazy amount.
Yeah. It's like, for a month, that your diehard Fortnite player spends almost $800 a month on content in that game. And I was like, that's ridiculous.
Yep.
It's a free to play game.
Here, like, I just want a fucking Nightmare Creatures remake. That's all I want. I just want a Nightmare Creatures remake. Reboot that genre. It's a good genre. It deserves love, and we're not going to get that, because you know what? Even if some company did revive that franchise, they'd find a way to paywall it and make you pay for extra shit. Mm-hmm. They're making gaming less enjoyable.
Yeah,
they've turned it into a one sided lucrative business.
I think, too, you know, talking about how these things get milked, another reason I think that EA shuttered Dead Space, like, you know, saying, hey, they couldn't milk it. And on the flip side, people will probably say, well, Resident Evil kept getting remade. But if you look at Capcom has always been sliding in microtransactions in some way in all their games. They may not have slid 30 DLCs down your throat with the remakes, but there were microtransactions. They were not necessary to the game, but they gave you the feeling of having a leg up. Like, even with Resident Evil 4, the price tag for Resident Evil 4 was like $60, but the DLC was an extra 20 or 10, 20 bucks, I think. I think it was like between $10 and $20. So you wound up, if you bought all the cosmetics, all the little microtransactions, the extra money, the fancier guns to get yourself a little bit of leverage in the starting game, you wound up hitting that $70 price point. You wound up hitting that $70 price point, and they had a DLC attached to it. Even with the Resident Evil 2 remake, there's no actual DLC per se, if I remember correctly. It's been a few years since I've touched the game. But there were microtransactions, little things you could buy to increase how much they made off of that remake. And some way, they found a way to make more money off of that game's initial sale at a lower price. That's why they could keep crunching out remakes, because the microtransactions added up. They were so small, they were so tiny, you know, people don't realize pennies make dollars. So you see something for 99 cents, of course, in your head, you're like, that's less than a dollar, that's easy day. You multiply that by every gamer who bought the game, that every gamer does that. Capcom was making bank. Therefore, hitting the number, the dollar number that they want, to justify doing it. And once they saw that people were going to be willing to invest, I promise you, if people were not buying into those microtransactions, I don't think we would have got a Resident Evil 3 remake. I don't think we would have got a Resident Evil 4 remake. And the funny thing about it is Resident Evil 4 remake was already in development for a while. Long before 2 and 3 were even talked about. They were talking about a Resident Evil 4 remake. Did it not strike anyone as funny that not long after 2, 3 was right behind it, ready to go? They had already built up the game. I promise you, if 2 did not make the money they wanted it to, 3 and 4 would have been shuttered. But they had 3 at the ready to capitalize off that hype and off the money gamers were willing to spend. So as soon as 2 started making that money, they dropped 3 immediately. They were like, oh, we got 3 right behind it.
Yeah, they dropped.
And then we had to wait for 4.
They dropped the remake of a base game like it was a DLC for the other game.
Yep. And we were so hype on Capcom making their return, Capcom returning to form, that we didn't realize what they were doing. And I felt for it too, because I was like, yo, 2 remake, phenomenal. Don't get me wrong. Love it. It's a great game. It's a great remake. I love it to death. So I was on that hype train too when 3 came rolling out. And it wasn't until after I had 3 already downloaded, paid, and I was like, wait a minute. It got me. 3 came out way too fast.
Didn't I just play this other game 8 months ago?
They got me right when I was on my high. Yeah. I was like, man, you guys got me. And then we had a gap in time before 4 dropped. And I was like, ah, see what's happening here. Well played, Capcom. Well played. But yeah, unfortunately for the Dead Space fans, we got pretty much teased. We were hoping that it was coming back. And now EA is dropping it in favor because the team has pretty much moved on. They're working on the next Battlefield. There's no one even work on a Dead Space 2 remake. EA is saying that from their standpoint, it's not canceled. It's just indefinitely paused. But they never actually confirmed that it was going to be in the works in the first place. So, of course, they won't say that it was canceled because they never even got started on it. So, you know, that's their segue of, oh, no, we didn't cancel it. Yeah, because you never started on it in the first place, which tells me I don't think they really had a plan to work on it. They saw an opportunity to make a lot of money really fast off of a certain niche fan base. They delivered a quality product to guarantee that it sold, but I don't think they truly had a plan to see it through because we're in the era where everything is, it's either FPS or sports right now for a lot of gamers. Online, competitive is the focus for a lot of these companies right now. And that's where they want to put their money. That's where they want to put their effort. Even though there's a huge outcry for more single player games, a lot of them, they just want to drive the competitive online aspect, which for me, it's actually turned me off from competitive online. I used to before when it was a smaller batch because it just, then it I don't know, it felt, I don't want to say more intimate, but it like the high was better because you only had a few games to go through. Like, you know, it was like, you know, you had Call of Duty and you had like Madden and stuff, and it wasn't that many. So, you know, when you got online, you were like, yeah, but now there's a plethora of them. And it's like, is there any single player game where I can just sit down and zone out into my own little world for like hours upon hours? And I don't have to be online with other people and get annoyed. Like, so I don't know. I don't think EA actually had a plan to work on it. Which really, really, really sucks. So yeah. Dead Space is it's pretty much canned. And Ubisoft is already putting the nail in the coffin for Star Wars Outlaws, which I had high hopes for. And now I'm side eyeing it.
Yeah, and I'm not a huge fan of the excuse when a game has microtransactions and paywalls and stuff, and I see the same argument all the time, like, oh well, you know you don't have to buy them, they're just there if you want them for your convenience, it's all in the game. And I'm again, just like the last episode we mentioned, you're part of the problem of the part of the community that's allowing this shit to happen. And then you'll probably turn around and then get upset when you're the one behind a paywall of a game you really like, and then you feel passionate about said game. And it's, this stuff's only going to get worse down the line, man. It's gotten really like way out of hand.
Yeah, absolutely. But what do you guys think? Are you upset that Dead Space isn't happening? Did you already know Dead Space wasn't going to happen? What are your thoughts on Star Wars Outlaws? Do you think we were better off just being stuck with EA? Or do you think other developers, now that they can get their hands on the Star Wars license, might revive the series and not put everything behind paywalls like EA and now Ubisoft is planning to do? We would love to hear from you guys. Hit us up on our website, GZChopShopPodcast.com. Leave your comments on the latest episode. And hit us up on Patreon, patreon.com/OSN Media. If you love a podcast and want to support the show, we more than would welcome it and appreciate it. Anyway, that's all the time we've got for this episode. You've been amazing. Take care of yourself and each other. And we'll catch all of you on the next podcast. Later.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
What's up, everyone? Project Itachi here. Did you enjoy the show? If so, think about supporting us on Patreon or Acast for exclusive perks, content, and more. Also, visit our store, thegzshop.com. You can find all of our links on our website, osn-media.com. Until next time.